Help has definitely arrived. Help has definitely arrived. I'll be coming out of John chapter 14, verses 15 through 18. Help! I've always needed help. Oh, yeah. Help is something that we all need, as we just heard. No matter what stage of life that you're in. Help. But just in case you have forgotten, let's take a trip down memory lane. As a baby, we needed help to eat. Then as we grew a bit, we needed help to learn how to talk and walk. We needed help learning how to ride a bike, how to swim, how to drive a car. But we need extra help with the way that people drive today. To stay safe. Some of you are naturally good at certain subjects in school, but other subjects you needed extra help to understand the subject. Thinking about school, let me give you a classic example from a young boy in grade school back in the day. He had forgotten an assignment paper at home, and so the class started, and the teacher asked everyone to turn in their homework. It dawned on him that he had left his at home. So the easy thing for him to say is, I left it at home, right? Then make a request and go to the principal's office to call his parents and ask for help. But no. At break, he decided to leave the school and walk home to get his paper. 4.5 miles one way, 4.5 miles back. Apparently, he should have asked for help, right? He should have asked for help. Nonetheless, he went walking and walking and walking. Eventually, the school calls his parents because he's missing from the class. They think he has run away because he's been acting kind of strange ever since his teacher asked the class to turn in their homework assignment. So his dad hopped into the car to go looking for him. He found his son on the road walking towards home. Walking towards home. His dad picked him up, held up his paper, and said, "Son, all you needed to do was call and ask for help." Help. This child's decision to not ask for help reflects a common Christian norm. Help has definitely arrived. But are you doing a good job of asking the Father for help? For help. Many believers are unaware that there is a helper, the Holy Spirit, and they can ask for help. In fact, many believers don't know or think much about the ministry of the Holy Spirit in their lives. A.W. Tozer said, "The idea of the Holy Spirit to the average church member is so vague as to be non-existent." We have discipleship books that will help us out with that. My shameless plug. Praise the Lord. John Lloyd Ogilvie wrote these words: "Sadly, many Christians settle for 2/3 of God. God the Father is way up there somewhere, aloof and apart from their daily lives, right? And Christ is out there somewhere between them and the Father. If you believe that the Holy Spirit is some kind of vague force or impersonable power, then you don't know him intimately. Then you don't know him intimately. The Holy Spirit is far more than a symbol of God's power. Truth is, we couldn't do anything of eternal value without his help, the help of the Holy Spirit. My prayer for us is that we will get to know the Holy Spirit more intimately. And the songs that we sang today fit right into that. Praise the Lord. We need help. The good news is help has definitely arrived. Let us pray. Father, we come to you, thanking you and praising you for just who you are. Thank you for such a wonderful plan of salvation, sending your son to die for us. And matter of fact, Lord, you said it was even better for you to leave so that you could send the helper, the advocate, the Holy Spirit. Lord, please continue to move by your Holy Spirit even now. Help me to get totally out of the way. Hide behind your cross, Lord, and do as you please. Lead and guide me, Lord, because I need your help. We need your help. Take your word, Lord. Push it down in us. Transform us to be the men and women and children of God that you have called us to be. We ask of these things in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Now, let's read the words of Jesus in John 14, verses 15 through 18, where he spoke to the disciples in that upper room discourse. John chapter 14, verses 15 through 18. And it says, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate, that he may be with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it does not see him or know him. You know him, because he abides with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you." Thank the Lord for the reading, just the reading of his word. Amen. Let's remind ourselves of the emotional state of the disciples at this moment. They're at the Last Supper. This is the evening Jesus has told them that he is leaving. They're pretty confused and pretty depressed about that idea. They have become unraveled emotionally. They're starting to feel helpless. And Jesus says, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." Now, I can only imagine the disciples at least thinking, "What? You just told us that you're leaving, and you're asking us to keep your commandments? How must we do so?" Remember, Jesus was headed to the cross, and he stayed laser focused on his love and submission to his Father's will. He said, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work." So what a great example. You're talking about someone that could have been a little off track with everything that was going on in his life. It would have been Jesus. But he stayed. He stayed in a place of showing his love and submission to his Father. Jesus knows that his disciples and all who will follow him will need help. So he makes them a promise of someone he will send to help them. What I want to show and drill down in this today is six functions of the Holy Spirit, six ways that he operates in a believer's life. First of all, in your first fill-in, the Holy Spirit is an active helper. The Holy Spirit is an active helper. Praise the Lord. It's at least four times during this sacred evening that Jesus refers to the person of the Holy Spirit by the title helper to his disciples. The four references are John 14:16, which we just read, John 14:26, John 15:26, and John 16:7. When the Spirit of God comes, helping is what he will do. Jesus chose this title to describe the Holy Spirit when there were plenty of other words according to Scripture. Plenty. The Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of counsel, the Spirit of wisdom, the Spirit of might, the Spirit of knowledge in Isaiah chapter 11. Jesus could have called him the eternal Spirit, like in Hebrews chapter 9. The Holy Spirit is called God in Acts 5, verses 3 through 4. This is one of the clearest biblical passages demonstrating the divinity of the Holy Spirit. He's God. So never refer to the Holy Spirit as an it or force. He's God. He's the third person in the triune Godhead. He is referred to as the good spirit in Nehemiah chapter 9. He is called the Lord by Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Now the Lord is the spirit. And where the spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. So now the Lord is the spirit. His title in Luke 1 is Power of the Most High. Remember when he overshadowed Mary? Paul also calls him the Spirit of Adoption, Romans chapter 8. Peter gives him the title the Spirit of Glory, 1 Peter chapter 4. None of those titles Jesus used that night. In short, Jesus calls him the Advocate, the Helper. Now, the word helper in the Greek, parakletos. Some of you may be familiar with the term paraclete. This term speaks of one who is called alongside, one who is near to help. It can be translated advocate or counselor. Often in ancient times, this term was associated with the legal profession. It will refer to someone who was a counsel for the defense or someone who will help you not only plead your case, but help you win the trial. The Holy Spirit lives in all who's born again, and he's the one called to constantly stand by us and take part of every aspect of our life. Do you believe that? God knows we all need all the help we can get. So he has provided for you and me the helper. Thank you, Jesus. Now, we don't always live as though the Spirit of God is here to help us. We are often like the young boy walking home for his assignment paper. All we have to do is call and ask for help, because the helper is available. Are you feeling like you're at a breaking point because the temptations and the trials in life are accumulating? The pressure is too intense, or the grip of sin seems too powerful? You don't know if you can handle one more curveball or one more bad choice. You need to ask for the helper, the Holy Spirit. Listen to this quote from Tim Downs, a longtime staff member with Campus Crusade for Christ, aka CRU. This is what Tim writes about the relationship of the Holy Spirit to the Christian. Watches, cars, and Christians can all look chromed and shiny, but watches don't tick, cars don't go, and Christians don't make a difference without insides. Then he says, for a Christian, that's the Holy Spirit. Christians struggle with sin, am I right? I should have been a little louder. Christians struggle with sin, am I right? See, that could be the problem, right? When we're ministering to others, they could think you're perfect if we don't let it be known that we struggle with sin also. So let's be real, amen? We Christians struggle with sin, right? We do. Multiple wrong choices can lead us down a path of addiction like purity issues, drug, alcohol, or gambling abuse. Then we suffer. Now people without Christ is worse off. Now, am I right? Why am I saying that? They do not have the helper walking along and living inside of them, right? They don't have him. Christians, we're in a kingdom. It's called the kingdom of God. Now, for those who would like to get into this kingdom, it's pretty straightforward. All you need to do is believe in Jesus Christ. And the Bible makes it clear that you are adopted into the royal family, the forever family. Amen. To get into this kingdom is easy because you don't have to work for it. But to live like royalty takes work, and you will need help. Help. The helper, the Holy Spirit, births you into the kingdom, so he's doing all that work, and he helps you to walk as a child of the king. He's our helper. Here in our text today, Jesus told his disciples that help is on the way. He's here now. He's here now. So let's examine and learn more by drilling a little deeper here. Not only is the Holy Spirit an active helper, but he is an equal helper. That's your fill-in. The Holy Spirit is the equal helper. Let's read verse 16 and notice the promise of Jesus here. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate that he may be with you forever. Another advocate, another helper. Now the word another is very precise here. Here it means another of the same kind. If you want to say another in Greek, you have a choice between two different words, right? Allos means another of exactly the same kind. Or you can use the word heteros, means another of a different kind. Allos is used here. And here's the example. So when Jesus said that the Father's going to give you another helper, what he's communicating to his disciples is, I've been a helper to you. I'm leaving. But the Father is going to give you another helper, exactly like I've been to you. Praise the name of the Lord. Everything that I have been to you, the Holy Spirit will be to you now. Just like you turn to me in every situation, you can turn to the Holy Spirit in every situation. Am I right? I have been a helper to you. The Holy Spirit will now be your helper. Now let's briefly examine that. How did Jesus help his disciples? I'm only give two examples here. First, and it's a fill-in, Jesus helped his disciples to pray, right? Luke 11. You don't have to turn there. But one day Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." So Jesus said, "When you pray, say, 'Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come.'" You know, the disciples' prayer. That's the disciples' prayer, not the Lord's prayer. That's the disciples' prayer. Jesus helped them pray. Likewise, the Holy Spirit helps the disciples to pray. Turn to Romans 8:26 if you would like. Romans 8:26. Romans 8:26, it says, "And in the same way, the Spirit also helps our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words." Hallelujah. Sometimes we pray for things and we could be way off base. That's why we should say, "Nevertheless, not our will be done, but your will be done," if you're not praying scripture, right? Here's a silly illustration here. You have a car. Yeah, you got a car, but you think you need a new car. You hear that? But you think you need a new car. So you pray for it. "God, please give me a new car." Tacking on, "In Jesus' name." Holy Spirit may say, "Father, he does not need a new car. He needs patience. So give him a good mechanic to keep that old car going." The Holy Spirit helps us in our prayers. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Secondly, and a fill-in here, Jesus helped his disciples through instruction. He taught them for three and a half years. They listened to the Sermon on the Mount. They listened to the Olivet Discourse. They listened to his parables for life situations. Their most important classroom could have been in this upper room discourse. Jesus instructed them, he taught them, he schooled them, he educated them, he matured them. And the Holy Spirit, guess what? Will do the same. Let's look a bit further past our text and read John 14, 25 and 26. We could look at that real quick. 25 and 26, John 14. "These things have I spoken to you while abiding with you. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you." Jesus has been a helper to his disciples, and he's going to send another helper, another advocate, an exact replica of himself. This is important. How many believers, myself included, has said something like this? "Wouldn't it have been great to live during the time that Jesus lived? To actually be there, to hear his voice, see his miracles, and be right there with him when you needed something." How many? Who gonna be real enough to say you done came to a prayer like that? You ain't being real. Someone right now is thinking it. Yes, that would be great. That would be good. That would be, as we heard on the VBS, awesome. That would just be awesome. I'm not at all depreciating that, But what Jesus wants us to realize is that in your filling, the Holy Spirit is the perfect substitution for Jesus. When it comes to needing help, the Holy Spirit is the perfect substitution of Jesus Christ. And just as the disciples learned to ask Jesus for help, you and I need to learn to ask the Holy Spirit for help. And now let's tack on in Jesus' name. Jesus told them, apart from me, you can do nothing. So we need the same Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead to help us. The quicker you learn that, the happier you'll be. The joy of the Lord will be your strength then. I'll sum it up this way. We need God the Father for external life. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth and everything on the earth, including mankind. We need God the Son, Jesus, for our eternal life. Right? He died on the cross for our sins. And this act provides for us life with God for eternity as a free gift. Right? Now, but we need the Holy Spirit for internal life. He seals our salvation. He's our complete power source for comfort, instruction, service. He is our helper. Another helper. The equal helper. Sit by God the Father. Hallelujah. Here's the third trait I want us to look at. It's also your next fill-in. The Holy Spirit is the permanent helper. He's not going to be here one day and leave the next. He's in it for the long haul. Read verse 16 again, because I ain't get enough amens. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate that he may be with you forever. How long will the Holy Spirit be with the followers of Jesus Christ? Oh, my goodness. Am I in the wrong classroom today? I'll do it again. I'll give you another chance. How long will the Holy Spirit be with the followers of Jesus Christ? Man, sound like you mean it. We can thank Jesus because the Holy Spirit is not going to be with us 3.5 years, then leave. He's not going to be with you for the first decade of your Christian life, then tell you your warranty has ran out. Goodbye. No, you're on your way. No, you're on your way now. If you're born again, the Holy Spirit is going to be with you forever. He will be comforting, maturing, teaching, counseling, praying for, and empowering you to serve King Jesus. Yes, you can grieve the Holy Spirit, no doubt. Ephesians 4:30 shows us that. Yes, you can quench the Holy Spirit. 1 Thessalonians 5:19 shows us that. But we are told not to do those things, right? Not to do those things. But you need to know he's hanging around the Holy Spirit, and he's 100% committed to the process of growing you and I up. He will be with believers forever. Now there was one major difference in how the Holy Spirit operated in mankind in the Old Testament versus the New Testament. In the Old Testament, the Spirit of God came upon individuals at different times and specific reasons, right, for a powerful work. But guess what he would do? He would leave. The Holy Spirit in the Old Testament, he would leave. He would come and leave, come and leave. 1 Samuel 16, the Spirit of the Lord departed from King Saul. Not good. Definitely not good. Why wasn't it good? Because Saul is the king of the land. If anybody needs help in ruling God's people, it's the king. And so the Spirit of God departed from Saul. David watched it happen, and it scared him to death because he prayed later on in Psalm 51. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit away from me. Don't let what happened to King Saul happen to me. Well, this is the New Testament. It's not going to happen. Praise the Lord. That's the Old Testament. In the New Testament, he is permanently in the believer. Not only with us, right? But in us forever. The Holy Spirit is with you forever, through every trial, through every heartache, through every decision you make, the good, the bad, yep, and the ugly. From earth all the way to heaven, he's the permanent helper. Permanent helper. Here's your next fill-in. The Holy Spirit is an internal helper. So Jesus says in the last sentence, he abides with you and will be in you. Now think of these two relationships, with you and in you. The Holy Spirit was with you before he was in you. Here Jesus is speaking to his disciples of being inseparably united with the Holy Spirit. And the same principle applies to all present-day disciples of Jesus today. While the Holy Spirit does not permanently dwell inside unbelievers, he works externally to bring them to faith by convicting them of sin and bearing witness to the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Man, that should have been a bigger amen too. Don't you want to see people get saved? Glory to God. Have you ever heard of the saying, the hound of heaven? It's a fitting term because the Lord said when the Spirit comes, he will convict the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment to come. All right. See, that's what he's going to do. Concerning sin because they don't what? They don't believe in him. They don't believe in him. Once you throw up your hands, like I did in worship today, once you throw up your hands and surrender and say, Jesus, come into my life, be my Lord, he comes into your life, and at that same moment, the Father gives you the Holy Spirit. He will abide not only with you, but in you. Inseparably united. Thank you, Lord Jesus. It's a nice feeling right here. Believers have a 24/7 live-in helper. Believers have a 24/7 live-in helper. He takes no breaks. As one who has believed and received Jesus, his Spirit is with you and in you. And now you can continue to ask the Holy Spirit for help daily. To do what? To do the work that Jesus commands his disciples to do. And what was the greatest call? To go out and do what? Make disciples. What do disciples do? Make disciples. In short, the Holy Spirit comes after us to save us from the judgment of God. He comes into us to make us sanctified, set apart, right? This requires obedience and takes us back to the words of Jesus in verse 15. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. Ask the Holy Spirit right now to help us. If you're a believer, ask the Holy Spirit right now to help us to keep his commandments. Holy Spirit, please help me keep your commandments. Obedience doesn't come by asking, how can I get more of the Holy Spirit? Instead, ask, how can the all-powerful God, the Holy Spirit, get more of me and work through me? Because he is the internal helper. The internal helper. Next fill-in. The Holy Spirit is the only reliable helper. Jesus calls him in verse 17 the Spirit of what? Truth. In one night, chapters 14 to 16, Jesus called the Holy Spirit the Spirit of truth three times. So he's the spirit of truth. He can't lie. He can't deceive. He won't lead you to a lie. He won't lead you to deceive. He only traffics in truth. He only traffics in truth. Truth only. If you don't mind, turn to chapter 15 real quick. And verse 26, I'll read that. 15. 26. Hallelujah, brother. When the advocate comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me. Right? In other words, the Spirit of truth is going to tell you the truth about Jesus. He'll reinforce the truth of the identity of Jesus Christ. Jesus saying, he will testify of me. Right? Now go over to chapter 16 again. Oh, you're still there. Sorry. Remember, this same night, same message, same room. This is John 16, and I'm going to say verse 12. Truly, truly, oh, sorry, I'm in the wrong spot. I knew that when I started reading. All right, John 16, verse 12. I still have many more things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. The disciples of Jesus are emotionally distraught. They can't grasp what he's saying because he told them he's leaving. I can imagine their heads spinning and their hearts pounding. They're crushed, and Jesus knows exactly how they feel. He knows that at the moment, these guys cannot handle the truth. However, this is the great part about that. Let's look at verse 13. Somebody already did, I guess. Whatever you ask in my name, this will I do, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Oh, no, goodness, I flipped back. I'm sorry. Moving too fast, but it's okay. I'm going to laugh at that myself. So 16, verse 13. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak from himself, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will disclose to you what is to come. Wow, the Spirit of truth. Now I'll flip back. This accounts for how the disciples could write the New Testament. People say all the time, how could they remember all the things Jesus did and said? I know I can't give you all the details that happened yesterday without the help of the Holy Spirit. Maybe even what I ate last night. Sometimes, I don't know. We need the Holy Spirit. The only way they could do these things is by the help of the Holy Spirit. He's going to direct you into what? The truth. He's going to bring everything you need to your remembrance. He's going to enable you to do that. He's going to bring all truth to your remembrance. The truth about Jesus. Now, this brings us up a very important point here. This is a very specific kind of truth. The Spirit of truth will point to the truth, right? This refers to a specific body of truth centering on Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit is the only reliable helper. Lastly, and your last fill in here, the Holy Spirit is an exclusive helper. Exclusive means shutting out all others from a part or share. Not everybody gets help in this way that I've explained to you today. Only certain ones get his help in this like manner. I want you to see who can and who cannot receive the help of the Holy Spirit. Let's now look at John 14, verse 17. And I'll slow down and make sure I'm there. How about that? John 14, all right, verse 17. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it does not see him or know him. You know him because he abides with you and will be in you. Wow. Wow. So in verse 17, whom the world cannot receive, that means all unbelievers. Every child of God has the Holy Spirit. All who truly receive the truth about Jesus, his death, burial, and resurrection, the Holy Spirit comes inside and baptizes them into the body of Christ. Hear me? Baptizes you into the body of Christ. So that's your first baptism, not a water one. This is the baptism that puts you into the kingdom, right? So Jesus tells us that the people of the world cannot receive the Spirit of truth. Why not? Because it does not see him or know him. Non-believers' worldview is skewed. They say all the time, I must see to believe. Prove to me God exists. I can't see him. Show me the science. The world in which we were a part of at a time. They can't receive the Spirit of truth. Remember, Pastor Les shared about a group in John chapter 12. They would not because they could not. They would not because they could not. If you are hearing what the Spirit of truth is saying to you today, then he's helping you to see and know the truth about Jesus so that you may receive him. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 speaks of the natural man, meaning the unsaved person does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, nor can he know them, for they are spiritually discerned. Therefore, unless the Spirit of God opens the eyes of the blind and open deaf ears to hear the truth, there will be no transformation of the heart. The world cannot receive him. We need help, the Holy Spirit, right? If you're born again, you have received him. You see him. You know him. He is with you and in you. The Holy Spirit is the exclusive resident helper to every true believer. Now I'm drawing this to an end. So I'll give you a little bit of application here. We have been given directions in Scripture as to our relationship with the Holy Spirit. For those who belong to Christ Jesus, he's with us and he's in us. A classic text for us to apply is, and you can look this up on your own at the time, but Ephesians 5, 17 and 18. If you're quick enough, you can get there. Ephesians 5, 17 and 18. On account of this, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Why is this comparison in Scripture? Why the Holy Spirit himself, the original author of the Bible, compares being drunk with wine and being filled with the Spirit? Easy answer, control. Control. Give control to the Holy Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. This implies control. So rather giving up control to a substance, give control to the Holy Spirit so that he can do his work in and through you. But be filled with the Spirit. That's the idea of being filled with the Spirit. This phrase is written in present tense, which implies a continuous action rather than a one-time event. Be constantly filled with the Holy Spirit. You might say, why? I came to Christ. The Spirit lives in me. Isn't that enough? Why do I have to keep being filled with the Spirit? Here's why. Because you leak. Because I leak. We still sin. We just talked about that earlier today, right? Can you relate to that? We leak. We do. Pastor Jeremy shared it a few weeks ago in John 13 this way. As we walk along the path of life, guess what's going to get stuck on our feet? Dirt. We get dirty, right? And that's why Jesus had to wash those feet, and he got to continuously do that right now by the power of the Holy Spirit. Wash our feet. Do we ever end our battle with sin on this earth? Oh, my goodness. Are we asleep? Somebody in here, well, I take it most of you are perfect. Because I only heard a few. Right? Right? Do we ever end our battle with sin on this earth?
No.
Oh, okay. That's more real. There is one baptism by the Spirit for salvation, but we must continue to ask for many fillings to live and do the work of the Lord. Don't be like that young boy going home to get his homework. Ask for the helper. Because when you fill with the Spirit, guess what? The Spirit, his help shows up in your marriage. His help shows up in your occupation. His help shows up in your singleness. His help shows up in how you spend your time. His help shows up in your social media posts that many will see. It's going to be a thought by thought, choice by choice, act by act, under the control of the Holy Spirit that you can walk as Christ will have you to walk. Let's begin by closing by reading verse 18. I will not leave you as orphans. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. In the ancient world, being an orphan was even more tragic than it is today. Fatherless children were effectively homeless and penniless, no adoption agencies around. Think about that. They out there on the streets. They were dependent entirely on the charity of strangers. When Jesus promises not to leave believers, the disciples in particular, as orphans, he is reassuring them that this is not the end of their relationship with him. They will not be abandoned or left without help. He will send the helper, the Holy Spirit. Just ask the Heavenly Father for help. Now, I speak to believers and non-believers alike. Maybe you've tried lots of things to help your own situation in life and have realized that none are really working. Your life doesn't work with the self-help book. Your life doesn't work with just one retreat away for your marriage. Your life doesn't work by trying this relationship or that substance. What works is being filled with who you were intended to be filled with. And that is God himself. That is the power of the Holy Spirit living in you. But it begins by a relationship with God. I know it's a crazy world and it's getting worse. Crazy is all around us. It's in the political realm. It's in the social realm. It's in the physical realm. Crazy, crazy, crazy. But God is in control. Praise the Lord. God is in control. And he wants to stabilize us and fill us with his peace. He wants to fill our lives with his power. But we have to surrender. Help has definitely arrived. Ask God for a fresh filling of the Holy Spirit. If you never prayed to receive Christ, do it now. Do it now. Will today be the day of your salvation? Let us stand. Do you need help? Then surrender all and receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Let us bow our heads and pray. If you would like to say in words what's already taking place in your heart, just repeat these words after me. Lord, I need you. I need your help. I admit that I'm a sinner. I believe Jesus died for my sins, and he rose again on the third day. I turn from my past. I repent of my sin. I turn to Jesus as my Savior and Lord. I want to follow him as my Lord. Help me. Fill me with your Spirit to help me live for you. In Jesus' name, amen.